having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobby.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever as an underage delegate.
So, well, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Tomorrow afternoon at Croke Park, a very important motion at this stage. I hope everybody's familiar with it. Proposal A and Proposal B will be voted on to either radically alter the future of the Gaelic Football Championship, or we'll be left with the status quo and the potential for who knows what in the aftermath of that. I'm delighted to say Jason Sherlock is with us to give us his thoughts on what promises to be a very interesting and one way or another fairly monumental occasion. Jason, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm good, Ger. How are you?
I'm good. I kind of sometimes stop and wonder about where my life has taken me to, that we've invested so much time, literally hundreds of hours, talking about Congress. This is the first time we've been in this exercise in a long period of time. What's your views on the various options that are before delegates this weekend?
Yeah, well, I was only thinking back. I had an article piece, I think, in around 2013, 2014, where I kind of proposed my kind of new model of GAA fixtures, very similar to what the guys have in Proposal B. And again, I suppose the reason why I thought like that then and why I think like that now hasn't changed. I think we all love the game, whatever perspective we're coming with, and we want to do what's best for the game, not for the present, but probably more for the future. And I think there's elements from the perspectives that I picked up as a player, as a coach, and probably more important as a kid growing up, that I feel we could do better to serve our current players and our current competitions. So I suppose it's disappointing that we're 8 years gone since then, but I suppose the positive is it looks like the GAA are really looking to embrace positive change, and hopefully that is the case when it goes to vote tomorrow.
Yeah, so the players have come out through the GPA and said they're in favour of Proposal B. The current president said he's in favour of it. The most recent president, John Horan, who set up the group that did the investigation into what proposals we should have, a couple of key members of the committee are in favour of it. Loads of counties are in favour of it, and yet it hangs by a knife edge at the moment. I think if you were making a book on this, you'd make a slight favour, because all it has to do is get to 41% and Proposal B will fall. Talk to me though, you said there as a kid you learned stuff about the GAA that sticks with you to this day, and that makes you think that this Proposal B would be better. What's that about? Is it about the number of games? What is it?
Yeah, well, like if I go backwards, so my most recent engagement with Gaelic football has been as part of the Dublin backroom team, and it was obviously a privilege to be part of such a high performing unit. And those guys, when they play games typically in Croke Park, I know there were occasions when we got out of Croke Park, that was great from a performance perspective. But I suppose there was part of me, like the proud parents, that wanted to show these guys off and bring them around the country. And anytime we went to play kind of games outside Croke Park, or if we had a training camp around Ireland, you know, these guys had such a strong connection. They were so influential, particularly with the younger generation. And I think that's so important. So, and unfortunately, as inter-county management teams and players, you have your priority to play the games wherever they are. But there's an opportunity, obviously, to see games kind of more nationalised, which I think will help from a coaching perspective. As a player, I played with a Dublin team that had very little success from an All-Ireland perspective. We won one out of the 14 years that I played. But I played in an era where Leinster Championship games were like you had to be at those games. We played in front of 82,000 people. And that was because the games were so competitive at that time. And I think that's, again, something we need to try to aspire to. But to your point, as a kid, I suppose that's where it started for me. I grew up, my uncles, Brian and Eddie, used to bring me to Dublin League matches, to Croke Park to watch games. But also then when my uncle Eddie moved down to Cork and joined the local hurling club, Ballyhea, he used to bring me with the lads to Turles to watch Cork play. And I'd be looking at the likes of Tony O'Sullivan, Kevin Hennessy. We'd be looking at Shawnee Gorman, that was from the local parish. And again, they were my role models. I wanted to aspire to play for my county because of that. And I think that's really important when we look at the future of our games, that we ensure that the younger generation generation see playing for their county as a privilege. And I suppose at the moment there's a balance with playing for your county. There's so many examples and stories about kind of young men in the in their prime not willing to sacrifice the time to play with their county because it's a decision. It's a balance in terms of what else is going on in their world. Whereas I grew up where I felt that Dublin, playing for Dublin or representing my county was a privilege. And we really want to instill that in all the younger generation. And that shouldn't be dependent on success. It should be enough, an acknowledgement enough to be representing your county. And I think this is an opportunity to provide the competition, to provide an opportunity for our players to be at their best and to demonstrate themselves in the best way that potentially can influence the next generation.
What's your take on how the debate has happened? It feels like maybe we've done a bad job of explaining the potential benefits of Proposal B to that group of players in particular. Like, this isn't actually just about getting the best teams playing against each other. It's more about getting the teams in Divisions 3 and 4, about getting them the opportunity to play a minimum of 7 games against a similar standard of opposition, where if you get humiliated, it's because you didn't put the work in. It's not because you're against a team who is 15, 20 points better than you all the time and forever. Maybe we've done a bad job at bringing people along and saying this could be remarkable.
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic, obviously, it's brought a lot of challenges, but I think true chaos brings opportunity. I think what's come out of this situation from a GA perspective is the defined season, and it kind of progressed that conversation that's been going on, and I'm sure we would have got to a natural end, but you can certainly see line of sight of a defined season for a county player and a club player, which I think is an absolute positive. And I think if you're looking for young players, whatever county that is, to invest and dedicate and sacrifice the time that's needed at whatever level you're playing, it's important that you had a defined season. And I think that's a great step on the way. I think your point then, Ger, about the actual competitions, like we see the best product we have in terms of competitive competitions is the National League. However, it's played, in my opinion, at the wrong time of the year. And I go back to that kid going in the summer to Croke Park, and the smells and the buzz and the anticipation, their only experiences at the moment that fans of the counties that get to the latter stages get. And as you know, there's been a kind of monopoly on that as well over the last number of years. So wouldn't it be great to have our players and our competitions being played in the height of the summer when it's so vibrant? And I think that potentially can leave a much more lasting impact on the generation ahead. So again, yeah, maybe we haven't kind of sold that as well, but definitely I see a lot of value in having a defined season and a minimum of games. I think that's really important. Yeah, by all means, we want to test ourselves against the best. And I think this format gives us that opportunity, but it also gives us an opportunity to be competitive. And I think that's a really important part of any sports person as well.
The other thing that has been an aspect of this is that people are saying, oh, we've got the order of this wrong. And I've seen people, particularly in Division 3 and Division 4 counties, saying we need to address the funding issue before we address the competition issue. My point on that would be that if we don't actually understand where the deficits in funding are affecting the Divisions 3 and Division 4 teams, if you need more money on strength and conditioning or nutrition or whatever it is, if it's physiotherapy, let's establish over the course of the season where those deficits are in a defined season and learn the lessons from that. Maybe this is a little bit complicated, but I think if you address a funding issue for a team that has two competitive games, you actually don't know what your funding issue is, because you don't know if in weeks 7 and 8, when they would still be playing in the championship, there would have been an issue. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, well, so my interpretation of that is, like, if we do what we always do, we'll get what we always got. And as we can see, the trend in terms of the competitive nature of our championships, it's getting further and further removed from the top of the ladder to the lower levels. So that is going to continue to grow, and that gap is going to continue to get bigger if we continue to do what we do. If you take it at the moment, the better, the more successful you are, the longer you go into this, to the season, the less successful you are, the sooner your season is over. So therefore the gap is bigger when you start the next year. So the logic will dictate that the funding gap or the resources gap is going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And to your point, if we have a defined season where everyone is playing to the same period of time, at least then at the end of the season we can understand and assess where the challenges are. I think, like, again, I attended a conference, it's a good few years ago now, the chief marketing officer of the NFL. I know you're a big American football fan, but I remember him talking at a conference in GA headquarters, and he said their vision, their goal is that every supporter of any club, any team, every Sunday they rock up and they think their team has a chance of winning. Now, the reality of GA, because of the county bias, that's always going to be a challenge, to have teams of equal levels playing against each other. But we can certainly assist in terms of the competitions and how competitive they are. And a lot of that is what's in these proposals, is to bring teams that are competitive in their own, in context of their, of themselves, to be competitive. And there they can improve, and we'll be able to measure that improvement over the years.
And you can change the culture of teams, and bad cultures get exposed really quickly, because, you know, you see a county that hasn't been able to get its best players playing, you see a county where the coaching is failing, and then at that point the county has responsibility to fix it itself. It can't just say, oh, well, sure, look, you know, no one wanted to play for us this year because we drew the Dubs in the first round and we knew we were going to get Hockeys. I think that this is like a big moment of opportunity for the GAA. My concern is that if it's not grasped, what are we left with? And they're certainly pushing the provincial councils to get a provincial round robin as the future starting point for all championships. What would that result in, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think, as I said, like, this debate, and obviously full credit to you guys to kind of continue this debate and give it a fair hearing from both sides. I think, like, people are coming with a lot of care for our games, but they're coming with different perspectives. And as I said, I can only come from the perspective I have, which is a fan, a young kid that wanted to play for my county, a player that was lucky enough to represent my county and then to go on and be involved in a management team. Obviously, from an administration point of view, we can hold our head high against any sport globally in terms of the actual product and the fixtures and stuff like that. So there is obviously, like, people are coming with a care from their perspective. But I suppose the question I would ask for the people that are not kind of on board with this proposal is to kind of look outside their own perspective and kind of really think about, can we make an impact that's far greater than the present, that it's going into the future and continuing to sustain, I suppose, the popularity and the growth of our games. And I think that's in a crux what this opportunity is. Things don't happen very quickly in the GA, and potentially rightly so, but this is a real opportunity to strike and really kind of generate a kind of an added dimension to what our inter-county football season looks like.
So you're not thinking about this purely from a selfish Dublin perspective, because if you were, I suspect that people in Dublin would be like, hang on a second, the system works pretty well for us. Leinster's a nice little tune-up to get to an All-Ireland quarter-final series and then the real business starts. But you and Declan Darcy have both come out this week and said you think Plan B is the right thing to do. Why is that?
Well, like you mentioned the word about bad cultures and that, and I suppose the challenge with GA, in my opinion, is there's so much built up about being successful, and it's all about winning. And there is a part about playing sport to win. I absolutely get that. But there's also the journey to get to the performance. That's a really important part. And as I said, yeah, you could say that, like, it's all right for me because I've been involved with a successful team. I played for 15 years and for 14 of those years, it ended in defeat. And I suppose I look back on that time now fondly because of the journey I had and the person it helped me be. And I think it's really important to understand that playing, representing your county, shouldn't be about the medals you have at the end. It should be about the journey, the experience and the contribution that you can make. And that's regardless of whether you're with Dublin or a county that's playing in Division 3 or Division 4. You have a really important part to continue that connection of GAA in your county and nationally. And I suppose I would be passionate about that. You're right. If Dublin, if I was only thinking about a Dublin and a success point of view, I wouldn't want to change in the Leinster Championship because we look okay there for the next while. I wouldn't want to change with the Super 8s because it gives us a buffer. If Dublin lost the game, you still have a chance to get to a semi-final. And the reality is, from a talent perspective, Dublin will always have more players than other counties. So we have the resources and the capacity to have stronger squads. But that's not what, in my opinion, what GA should be about. It should be about a lot more than that.
It's funny because I've definitely seen some county board chairman go, how does this help us actually win in All-Ireland? And that's how we're going to vote this weekend. And that's kind of infuriating because ultimately, if that's all anybody's interested in, fair enough. But like, then that's not actually the core of what the organisation was set up to do, which was to help spread the gospel of the game. If anyway, look, no need for us to go down that rabbit hole too much. Our magic wall, the latest state of play that we have as it stands at the moment, Will O'Callaghan has been putting this together. There's a green line that goes all the way from Cork up to Louth, and we think down, although we're kind of a bit dubious about that. And Mayo and Galway have come out. Connacht feels are trending towards a no, and we expect the Ulster counties will largely, with the exception of Down, end up being no as well. So it's on a knife edge at the moment, Jason. I've never been as interested in something in Congress and the makeup of the votes and the perception of the democracy of the whole thing in my life. And again, as I said at the start, I question where my life has led me to this point. But what's your instinct about what's going to happen?
Who knows? And maybe that's the challenge, Ger, that we obviously see it from our perspective, and maybe we haven't factored in the other side enough, and maybe there hasn't been enough collaboration, because ultimately, as you say, it won't be players in the room that are voting on this tomorrow. I think your point about the who's in favour and who's against, like, obviously the obvious one is Ulster Championship, and like, obviously they have a great product and there's no denying that. But I suppose I look at it as, like, if there was four legs on the chair, there's only one leg of the chair is solid and secure. And I suppose what you're asking those counties is to kind of do something that might assist the other three legs as such, you know, do something that can potentially impact the entire kind of GAA calendar. And they would be well within their rights to say, yeah, we have a really great Ulster Championship. They're absolutely right. But I'd like to think that this decision has far greater implications than whether a provincial championship flourishes or not.
Yeah, and look, again, to go back to that selfish, what does it mean for me thing, I think for the Ulster counties, the majority of them are going to be in Division 1. That means there's a 5 out of 8 chance that they're going to be in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. For the teams who get marooned into Division 2 for a season, it's Division 2. You should back yourselves to win that, and then you'll be riding high into an All-Ireland quarterfinal series. I actually can't see a long-term downside. There might be occasional years where you finish 5th and don't get in, and maybe that gets fixed after 2 or 3 years. Everybody decides there's a wildcard weekend where the 5th place team in Division 1 ends up playing against the champions of Division 4. I don't know. But like, it's change now and build off the good quality change, or it's go back to the drawing board again and listen to everybody coming forward with their ideas and having to sift through for the right one.
And that's the nature of the GAA, and it served us well over the last number of years in terms of decisions that have been made, and that's the format, and that's why I suppose we're all passionate. Like, I know, as you said, you and Off the Ball have invested a lot of energy in showcasing this. Me, in my involvement as a Gaelic fan, like, I just want to add my kind of perspective to it, because I suppose we do appreciate the significance of this, and we can see the absolute value that it might have for the present kind of competitions, and then obviously for the future of our game.
Yeah, no, fair enough, Jason. It's great to have you with us this evening. Thanks for making the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Ger.
Cheers. It's Jason Sherlock giving us his views on Plan B. We will, of course, have live updates across the day on Off the Ball on Saturday. It's John Duggan in the chair, and he'll keep you up to date. As soon as we get news of whether or not Plan B has hit the 60% or not, we'll let you know. And then, I promise you, we will never talk about GAA structures again. And if I break that promise, you have permission to troll me on Twitter or do whatever it is, because I ain't ever talking about this again. We've had enough. 53106, the text number. Get in touch.